is a pleasure to be with you once again. Would you join me this morning in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8. We'll be reading from verse 4 to verse 15. Luke chapter 8, 4 through 15. And when a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, "A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell on the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it, and some fell on the rock, and as it grew up it withered away because it had no moisture, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when his disciples asked him what the parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are the ones who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a little while, and in time of testing fall away. And as for that what fell among thorns, they are those who hear it. But as they go their way, they are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience." Let's pray. Father, once again, we turn to your word. We acknowledge it is your word. You alone are capable of fully explaining it. Lord, as we look at this morning, would you just teach us? Teach us that which we need to know. Father, teach us that which we need to know to bring honor and glory to you. Lord, we commit all this to you. In the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. There are things we know that we know. There are known unknowns. That is to say, there are things that we know we don't know. But there are also unknown unknowns. These are things that we do not know we don't know. It's a quote from Donald Rumsfeld. And if you know what he was talking about, most people never figured that out, I don't think. And this quote has been around for a long time. Jesus, however, when it comes to the issue of knowing, says, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God." The setting here is Jesus has just told a parable. And then the disciples come and need an answer, and then Jesus preaches, essentially, one of the shortest, most succinct, clearest sermons in all of human history. I've been preaching long enough to know that I'm not going to try and improve on Jesus' sermon. But I would like to look at this morning on an issue that I think is critically important to us, and we are going to be looking at just one sentence, and that is, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God." And dear friends, that is a precious statement. It explains so much, and we need to look at that. So as we begin to look, I'm just going to take the verse apart, phrase by phrase here. He starts off by saying, "To you." Now, who is he talking to? That's the first thing we need to know if we're going to understand, is it not? Well, within the context, and when we look at Scripture, context is always critically important. So in the context, it says here in Luke that the disciples have come to him. There's been a whole crowd of people that have heard this parable, but he says now the disciples come to him. And so it is a small group. Now, there's two similar passages in Matthew and Mark, and from Mark we learn that there are few others beside the 12 disciples. But it is a small, discreet group that now come to Jesus, and they say, what does this mean? Now, again, the context is explaining the parable, and they just want to know what the parable means. Jesus says, you need to know why you need to know this. And it gives here a contrast. So we see here two groups of people, one being the disciples and a small group of others, if we include besides the 12, and the rest of the people. And he says here, you want to know, but the others don't want to know. And he quotes here from Isaiah 6:9 at the end of this passage, saying, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. Now, this sounds rather ominous, and it is. And I don't want to spend a lot of time on that, but just to understand the concept here is, if we look at Isaiah and what's going on here, this is a group of people who don't even care. They don't want to know about God. They have no desire. And God's judgment here is, you don't want to know, I'm not going to tell you. It's going to be hidden from you. But to those who wanted to know, he tells them. Now, having established who these people are, the next thing is, we are told, it has been given to you. Now, children especially, and adults fall in this category too, I know, love to receive presents, don't they? Now, if you've ever noticed children, when it comes time for Christmas or birthdays, what are they anticipating? Are they anticipating celebrating Christmas and remembering Jesus and all that? Well, the younger ones especially are thinking about what I'm going to get. What's the present going to be? When it's time for their birthday, they're not celebrating, I got another year older particularly, but they're thinking in terms of what do I get? What's the gift? Now, that has a tendency to look at gifts as if they're deserved. They're not, it's my birthday, I deserve. But a gift, by definition, is something that I don't deserve. If it's something that you do deserve, it's something you've earned, and it's called a wage. But here he's talking in terms of it being a gift. And gifts can be special, can they not? When my wife celebrated her birthday, my son, being the loving son he is, decided that she should be treated special. And he got the whole family together, and we took her out to eat at a restaurant. It was special. Now, especially those of you who are moms know, the best gift is to spend time with family. And even though it's brief and it's in a restaurant, it's still time with a family. It's special. It is a gift. And Jesus here says that what he's going to tell them is not something that they deserve to know. It is a gift. Something special. And as I said, it can't be earned. Wages are earned. Governments take taxes out of them. But gifts are special. They are really an expression of love for the person. And we need to understand that in this context in which Jesus is talking, this is an expression of love, as we will see. Now, as we go on, it says, it has been given to you to know. That is to understand. That is when we understand we have information that is not just in our head, but it is useful information. Now, let me give you a bit of an example. A few weeks ago, my daughter-in-law was tied up, and so my wife and I were babysitting, and it happened to be when my grandsons were due for a piano lesson, which was done by FaceTime, and I was assigned to be, I guess, the monitor. I ended up being a little more than a monitor, I think, because I can read music, as I'll explain in a second here, but having to point out where things are. And after we were done, I was thinking, I have a new appreciation for Mrs. Elmer. She taught me piano for, I think, almost 10 years, of which I got maybe 5 years of actual knowledge. But when a child starts to learn music, it's a whole new language, in essence, because the notations are totally different than what we would do in reading. And it takes time to learn and to practice. And those of us who have had children have lessons know that the beginning can be a little rough as we listen to the same mistakes over and over. But then as time goes on, the skill begins to develop. Is it not? And then we get to play better. And thanks to Mrs. Elmer's efforts on my part, at one point, being a pastor's kid especially, I got to play in church. And as we were, one of the hymns we were singing this morning, I remember years ago playing in a church. I think it was the third hymn we sang. But playing, and it was on an old upright piano. And as we get going, the congregation kept getting louder and louder, and the piano was rocking back and forth, and it was quite the experience. But you see, as we develop the skills, the knowledge becomes more useful. And I love to go to churches. I love where they play piano. So many churches use worship groups now, and I don't have a problem with that per se, but I just, growing up the way I did, I love to hear the piano. And when we hear the piano played well, we see how that knowledge and information has become useful. You know, if you are not particularly familiar with music and how it works, let me just say it's the same way when a child is learning to read. Where do we start? They learn their letters. And then over time, they learn to put letters together and to make words. And then they begin to link words together. And they begin to start to read. And the joy, especially as a grandfather, as the older ones learn to read and you see them all huddled together with their younger siblings reading to them, that knowledge has come to be understood. It is useful information. And so Jesus is saying to the disciples here, he's given them this understanding. And it's not some understanding of, I know the facts, but it is understanding that becomes useful in a very particular way. Now, here it's not stated, per se, who the gift of knowledge is from, but it is implied very clearly that this is a gift from God. It is not something that they deserve. It is a gift that God has given to them. Continuing on, he says, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. At Grace Harbor, we have a very large group of college students. And for someone who is now retired and has been in the church my entire life, to see young people thrilled about coming to church and worshiping God does my heart so much good. But I look at them and I think some of these may someday be used by God to discover some scientific fact that will change the world. A lot of them are in medical school. They will learn procedures, learn something that will be so useful. And it is all done with hard work, with experimentation, and I am by training a biologist, and I understand the experimental method and all that goes into that. But what Jesus is talking about here is not that kind of information. Those secrets are secrets or mysteries that are truths that are only discoverable by God's revelation. And you know, that to me explains so much, because how many times have you heard individuals who are absolutely brilliant in the sciences and they just totally dismiss the Bible and spiritual truths? Well, the issue here is that they want everything to be discoverable by the scientific method. And in our culture, in this day and age, we are basically driven in so many ways by the scientific method. But Jesus makes clear here that there is knowledge outside of that, and it is not information that we can discover by the sciences. It is not information, frankly, that you can give someone a Bible and they can read through it and they're going to figure it all out by themselves. It is a gift given. The understanding of this mystery, of these secrets, is a gift that only comes from God. Now, as I said, they must be revealed. Now, it's this information here that he says is very specific knowledge. It is knowledge of the kingdom of God. Now, the source of this knowledge, again, is God. It's Jesus revealing it, and we need to look in terms of the Trinity. Each member of the Trinity knows the full truth of the kingdom of God. And Jesus is here revealing it to them, really by the power of the Spirit. And this is something they need to know. Now, the source of the information is the one that it really is about. Now, what is exactly the kingdom of God? Jeremy Treat has a very brief summary that I think works well. It is God's reign through God's people over God's place. And it talks in terms of not just what we are saved from, but what we are saved for. There is a purpose here that he is in revealing this information. Now, what goes into this? And this is expanded, as we will see here now. As I said, originally the context is to a very small group of disciples. Now we could say, well, okay, that's all well and good, but what about us? We're not part of that. Are we part of those that we'll never know? Well, when we go into the next chapter, in chapter 9, we see Jesus, and it's in verses 1 and 2, it says, "And he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to do what? To proclaim the kingdom of God." You see, now it expands. When he first was talking to them in the original context, he was explaining it one parable, but now he sends his 12 out, the 12 disciples out, with the specific command that they are to go and to proclaim the kingdom of God. They are to tell the world about it. Now, exactly what is entailed with that? Well, fortunately, Luke records in verse 6 of chapter 9 another description. He says, "And they departed and went through the villages, preaching the gospel and healing everything." You see, that expansion of proclaiming the kingdom of God is the proclamation, the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the declaration that the king who rules over the kingdom has come into this earth, has taken on human form, has lived a human life, has been obedient to the law throughout it without one failure, and has offered himself up as a sacrifice. And having fulfilled the commands of the law, having done all that God sent the Messiah to do, he now dies and is raised to life, proving that the sacrifice is accepted, that everything has changed. Now, at the point when Jesus is saying this, we're almost to that point. And as within the next few weeks, we will be celebrating that Sunday that we set aside every year to remember that whole time. It is that proclamation. He's given us that to do. Now, it carries over again, and Luke carries this theme on. At the very end of the book of Acts, the last two verses of Acts, he says, he, being Paul, lived there two whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Paul, at the end of his life, Paul, after he has suffered everything, is proclaiming the kingdom of God, is proclaiming Jesus Christ as Lord. Dear friends, do you understand what this means? To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. If you are sitting here this morning and you understand these truths, if you can take joy in them, it is because God has revealed it to you. It is not something that you could ever have discovered on your own. You know, I think we all know people who we have taken time. We feel like we have explained the gospel to them clearly, and they don't understand. You know, I think of many years ago, I sent one of my Bibles on vacation to Mexico. Well, it was with one of my coworkers whose sister had come to know the Lord and was trying to explain it to Sue, and she just wasn't getting it. And she and I had many conversations, and she was going on vacation to Mexico. I said, hey, you want to take a Bible with you? And I marked John, and I said, read it. And I'm thinking, a week, yeah, I know it's vacation, but if she reads it. And she came back, and I said, well, what did you think? And I'm expecting a lot of questions. And she said, it's contradictory. Okay. I think I kind of looked at her like she had two heads, which is really not a good thing when you're trying to witness to someone. But I was confused. And she clearly had gotten out of John, but she said, well, it says, children obey your parents. And it also says, fathers, don't anger your children. And I'm sitting there thinking, those are complementary, not contradictory. I could not convince her. You know, and we have all been in that situation, have we not? Some of you may have come to know the Lord later in life, and you may remember times when it didn't make any sense at all. And you wondered what these strange people were doing. Why would anyone give up a Sunday morning to go hear somebody talk about the Bible? It didn't make any sense. But you see, the explanation is here that if we understand, it is a gift. It is the most important gift that we can receive. Now, you may say, well, but salvation is my most important gift, and I agree with you, but salvation only comes through knowledge. It is when we come to know God that we have faith in God. If we don't know him, if we don't understand, we will never believe. But Jesus here is telling us we have a special gift. We have been given insight. We have been given understanding into the things that matter most in this world. Things that matter most, not in just in this world, but through all eternity. Because you see, the kingdom of God, in one sense, is here now. Jesus is ruling now. But there is a time when all will come to fruition. A time when every single one of us here who has put their faith in Jesus Christ, who is trusting only in that work he did on the cross, and we will now enter into God's kingdom forever, where we will no longer struggle with the sin we struggle with now. We will no longer struggle with the physical ailments. We will no longer struggle with unbelief. But we will be in his presence forever to do exactly what he has created us to do. Now, there is the danger here, and it comes from a false understanding of this, but we can get big heads. We can get our egos really built up because I am so special. Dear friends, if you are sitting here thinking, I am so special, I am so important, because of the fact that I've been given this special life, you don't understand it. Because the fact that I can only know if he gives it to me means that I'm not worthy. You see, with that understanding of the knowledge of the kingdom of God is the understanding that I desperately need a Savior. An understanding that I cannot possibly know God unless he reveals himself to me. And so I think of the wonder that God would love me. I think as I live every day now with my faith in him, how could God love me in a sense when I'm so unlovable? He says, do these simple things and I can't even do them. You know, most of us can't get to breakfast time without doing something sinful. Let's be honest with ourselves. And yet, he loved us so much that he sent his son to take care of the issue, to pay the penalty that I owe, that I worked so hard to earn, and he takes it on himself, and then turns around and takes his righteousness and gives it to me, that which I don't deserve, that God can look on me and see me dressed in his son's clothes and welcome me into his kingdom. It also, dear friends, does not make us part of a secret society. We don't have special words. We don't have secret handshakes. When we talk to the world, sometimes they act like we are speaking a foreign language. What we have is a gift. It is not a wage. We did not earn it. Don't ever let that into your mind. But you see, it carries with it some responsibility. We have been given this. And I don't want to go through the whole explanation of the seed thing, but I want to just look at the final one here. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, held it fast in an honest and good heart and bearing fruit with patience. You see, dear friends, the understanding that he's given us carries with it responsibility to use it. Because the one who has fallen in good soil holds fast in an honest and good heart. Holds on to that truth as a treasure like no other. And he bears fruit with patience. And that phrase there suggests that it's not always going to be easy. You know, if things are going great, we don't talk about someone having patience. It's when things aren't going the way we want. And yet he tells us here that if this work is true of us, if we've truly received this gift of the understanding of the knowledge of the kingdom of God, that we will bear fruit with patience. That is, that our lives will be such that we stand out in a way that brings honor and glory to God. Now, it may and it should include bearing witness and telling others and seeking others to come into the kingdom. But it's more than that. It's living our lives on a daily basis with a desire to bring God the honor and glory he deserves. Do you see how important that knowledge is? Again, in a few weeks, the world, we included, will celebrate Easter. And there will be a lot of people who go to church for the first time in the year. They'll go again at Christmas, perhaps. But a lot of people who will give some form of recognition to the day, who act as if it's important, but have no understanding of what it means, who do not understand what that knowledge is, who don't understand the kingdom of God. And our hearts should break for them that they don't know that. But at the same time, we should be here with grateful hearts, just thanking God that in spite of who I am, he told me, he has explained it to me. What a great gift that is for us, that we should know this. Again, to you, your brother and sister, if you have faith in Jesus Christ this morning, this is about you. To you, it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom. Special truth that it is. Let's close. Father, we sit here this morning, many, if not all of us, having our hope firmly fixed on Jesus Christ and all he has done. Lord, we thank you that in your love you had gifted us with this knowledge of your kingdom. Father, would you just use us, use this knowledge in our lives to bring great honor and glory to yourself. Father, not that we would be praised, but that you and you alone would be praised. And Lord, now as we go out from this place, we would pray now, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now, and forevermore. Amen. Dismissed.